boss if you do so.
تکلیف خدا چیه؟ هدایته. الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلا.
If we rise up for Allah's sake, Allah will give us guidance. He will give us honor and light within. As you could see, during the history, there were few people who were ready to sacrifice all they had for the sake of Allah. Hazrat Fatimah Zahra was alone. However, she rose up for Allah. As a result, after so many centuries, people still believe her character and her struggles for Islam. Here, Singer Revolution was the role model for Husayni Revolution or Mahdavi Revolution and all the political revolutions of justice seekers against the oppression and arrogant power all across the world during all times. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hojjatul Islam Mandegari. To find out more about our program on Call of Islam page, IRIB English Radio, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
The Shahed 136 kamikaze drone, symbol of Iran's advancement in aerospace technology. Techniques of modern warfare have changed considerably in the last few decades, and unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, also known as drones, now play a very important part in modern warfare, with all the top military powers of the world now making extensive use of these unmanned aircraft. In recent years, the Islamic Republic of Iran has made astonishing advances in drone technology and manufacture of unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs. In this program, we will take a look at the Shahed 136 drone, an Iranian-made drone which has come to symbolize Iran's remarkable advancement in aerospace technology. Please stay with us. The Islamic Republic of Iran has invested heavily in drone technology during the past three decades and has made eye-catching progress in this field. The Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC Aerospace Division, initially focused on manufacture of tactical and reconnaissance drones, later switching to manufacture of kamikaze drones, also known as loitering munition. The wide variety of drones manufactured by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, have certainly proven their worth, their versatility, and their capabilities on various battlefields in regional conflicts in West Asia, including their reconnaissance capabilities, their target-finding abilities, and their offensive capabilities. The Islamic Republic of Iran has a special place among drone manufacturing countries, both in terms of quantity and quality of the drones that it manufactures. Without a doubt, Iran produces the most sophisticated and technologically superior drones or unmanned aerial vehicles in the West Asia region. Drones or unmanned aerial vehicles can be divided into three categories, namely reconnaissance, combat, and kamikaze or suicide drones. Among these, kamikaze drones are the rarest, and only a few types of these drones have ever been produced by countries which possess this technology. Certainly, the effectiveness of kamikaze drones have been demonstrated amply during the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict in 2020 and the Ukraine war in 2022. The Islamic Republic of Iran will continue to develop even more capable and more sophisticated drones which are useful for a variety of purposes. The Hesar Shahed 136 drone is an Iranian loitering munition in the form of an autonomous pusher-prop drone. It is designed and manufactured by Shahed Aviation Industries, which is part of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps Aerospace Division, IRGC Aerospace Division. The development of the Shahed 136 drone was a top-secret project, and very little information about this radar-evading and stealth drone was publicly available until very recently. Its capabilities and specifications were a closely guarded secret. In fact, the first time the drone was put on public display was during the Great Prophet 15 military exercises, which Iran's military forces carried out in 2021. The drone is made by the Iran Aircraft Manufacturing Industries, more famously known by its Persian acronym HESA. The munition is designed to attack ground targets from a distance, fired in multiples from a launch rack in batches of five upwards. It can also be launched from back of lorries and back of trucks to overwhelm air defenses by consuming their resources during the attack. The Shahed 136 drone has a cropped delta wing shape with a central fuselage blending into the wings and stabilizing rudders at the tips of the wings. The nose section contains a warhead, which weighs about 40 kilograms. The engine sits in the rear of the fuselage and drives a two-bladed propeller in a pusher arrangement. The munition is 3.5 meters long, with a wingspan of 2.5 meters, and it flies at a speed of over 185 kilometers per hour and weighs about 200 kilograms. The range of this aircraft is well over 2,000 kilometers and is usable in a pre-programmed direct attack munition mode, somewhat like a long-range cruise missile. Also, it can be operated as a long-duration loitering munition mode, limited by a radio signal range of about 200 kilometers. The Shahed 136 comes in three different varieties: anti-personnel, anti-armored vehicle, an anti-fortification and radar seeker. Because of the portability and launch frame of the drone assembly, the entire unit can be mounted on the back of military or commercial trucks. The aircraft is launched at a slightly upward angle and is assisted in initial flight by rocket launch assistance. The rocket is jettisoned immediately after launch, whereupon the drone's conventional Iranian-made MD-550 four-cylinder piston engine takes over. The Shahed 136 drone is visually similar to the smaller Shahed 131 drone, differing mainly by its wingtip stabilizers standing up and down rather than only up on the Shahed 131. The Shahed 136 drone is most effective when it's used in batches for offensive purposes. This was demonstrated quite visibly and quite clearly during the Great Prophet 17 military exercises in the Islamic Republic of Iran. In those exercises, the drone was launched from back of trucks, commercial trucks, in batches of five, and it was extremely effective against its targets. The launch of drones from back of trucks is known as hit-and-run launch. The technique of using Shahed 136 drones in batches is extremely effective militarily, and it can cripple the enemy.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, damages of immorality. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the damages of immorality in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that Islam gives importance to the moral values, to the ethical values, and it wants us to be or to have the good moral, to have a good ethics in front of people. We should deal with the people in the best way, in the best ethical way, and we should never leave ethics in any case. Therefore, when someone deals with the people with immorality, when someone deals with people unethically, there are some damages which Islam has taught us, and it has warned us that not to follow the path of immorality or be away from the unethical issues. The very first thing that it damages the immorality is that it it basically disperses, it destroys the system of the family, the function of the family. It's been destroyed when a person deals with the people unethically, when someone talks to the people unethically, when they insult each other. The first thing that we face is that within the family, between the wife and the husband, between the brothers and the sister, between the father and the kids or the children, they will not have the respect of each other. Therefore, Islam is warning us to not to deal with the people with immorality. Why? Because there are the damages that we will have to face. The consequences, the minimum consequences is that you will lose your family. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of damages of immorality in the Islamic lifestyle. We mentioned that Islam gives importance to the ethical issues and it wants us to deal with everyone with the ethics. So the very first damage that we see is that the environment of the family, it gets a negative environment. So the people lose the family relatives, relations, or there will be a misconduct between the family members, whether they're the father or children or mother of the children, or maybe it's a husband and wife, or maybe it's between the brothers and sisters. Therefore, Islam stops us from being immoral, being unethical. And the family is the foundation of the society. Why we are talking about the family, why we are giving the importance to the family, why we are saying like the first damage is what you see is the environment of the family. It sees damage. Obviously, there is a harm for the family. It's because the basic function of the family is to make the society. So the society starts with the family. If the families are not secured, then we cannot secure the rest of the society. If I am not dealing with my family in a good manner, and if I show that I am a good person out there, when I'm outside with my friends, or maybe at the work with the boss or the colleagues, or maybe at the college when I'm studying or the school, it doesn't matter. If I am not good at home, the rest of things are in vain. There is no profit of being good when I'm outside. Therefore, it is necessary to be good at home. Why? Because when I'm good at home, then obviously I will have a secure place to live. I will have a pure family members, a pure family. And this pure family will help me to reach to the perfection, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The salami tactic that Wang Yi is accusing the U.S. of using refers to a practice of using a series of small actions to achieve a much larger end goal that would otherwise be difficult to achieve using one large action. Yi's comments undermine the recent attempts by the leaders of the two biggest economies in the world to reconcile their differences when Joe Biden and Xi Jinping recently met. During Xi Jinping's first in-person meeting with the U.S. president since 2017, the issue of Taiwan was raised. China believes that the U.S. is slowly but surely trying to chip away at China's authority over Taiwan, the incredibly significant industrial island that China deems as its own territory. President Xi calls Taiwan its first red line that the U.S. would be wise not to cross. The intensity of the rhetoric used by both parties to describe the actions of the other party is also escalating. As Joe Biden objected to China's, quote, coercive and increasingly aggressive actions towards Taiwan, Wang Yi told Blinken that the U.S. shouldn't continue, quote, old routine of unilateral bullying. He also said that the U.S. should not be blinded by ideological prejudices and stop putting obstacles to bilateral relations. Prior to his phone call with Antony Blinken, Wang Yi had already met with the U.S. ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns. During that meeting, he noted that the U.S. and China cannot change each other, and the U.S. shouldn't think about thwarting China all the time. This kind of rhetoric is reflective of the frayed relationship between the two superpowers that are a result of U.S. crackdown on Chinese tech companies, human rights issues, and perhaps the most important of all, the issue of Taiwan, and the U.S. constantly undermining the One China policy. The U.S. has recently put major restrictions on some major Chinese tech firms, including Huawei and ZTE, to the point that their products, along with some other brands, can't even be exported to the U.S. The previous bans that were imposed on these companies during Donald Trump's presidency when anti-China rhetoric began were a lot less restrictive. On the topic of human rights, just in the wake of April's shooting incident in New York, the U.S. State Department released reports on human rights situation in other countries, including China, with a handful of accusations thrown in the mix. China rebutted Washington's claims against it by pointing out to its failures in upholding the very human rights they have always championed. The issue of Taiwan is a bit more complicated. In the website of U.S. Department of State, you will find the following paragraph on the U.S.'s supposed official position towards China and Taiwan. The United States' approach to Taiwan has remained consistent across decades and administrations. The United States has a long-standing one-China policy, which is guided by the Taiwan Relations Act, the three U.S.-China joint communique, and the six assurances. We oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We do not support Taiwan independence, and we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means. While the document reads that the U.S. does not support Taiwan's independence, a July 2007 Congressional Research Service report confirms that U.S. policy does not, in fact, recognize China's sovereignty over Taiwan. The document further reads, consistent with the Taiwan Relations Act, the United States makes available defense articles and services as necessary to enable Taiwan to maintain a sufficient self-defense capability and maintain our capacity to resist any resort to force or other forms of coercion that would jeopardize security or the social or economic system of Taiwan. The Taiwan Relations Act was passed right around the time the U.S. recognized the People's Republic of China in 1979. Its intent was so that the U.S. can maintain commercial, cultural, and other relations with Taiwan through unofficial relations without government representation and without formal diplomatic ties. China has since viewed the TRA as, quote, an unwarranted intrusion by the United States into the internal affairs of China. as the U.S. continued to supply Taiwan with arms and, more recently, had official meetings with the leader of the island. And this is where Wang Yi's rhetoric towards Blinken starts to make sense. The U.S. has been playing fast and loose with China's sovereignty over Taiwan and the One China policy. China is on a short fuse, and it remains to be seen when their patience will run out.
An investigation has shed light on the complicity of social media giant Twitter in the propaganda of the U.S. military in the West Asia region. The investigation says Twitter helped the U.S. military amplify its propaganda campaigns in this region, allowing fake accounts to push pro-U.S. narratives. The probe has been carried out by a journalist and is based on internal documents released by Elon Musk, who took over as Twitter's CEO in October. Musk has released the documents as an effort to boost transparency about the social media platform's operations under the previous management. The investigation says Twitter secretly created a special whitelist exempting accounts run by U.S. Central Command or CENTCOM for spam and abuse flags. The move allowed those accounts greater visibility on the platform. It says Twitter quietly introduced the feature in 2017. The measure was introduced after U.S. military officials asked the company to improve the visibility of Arab language accounts used to amplify certain messages. Those included promoting U.S. military narratives, anti-Iran messages, and support for the U.S. and Saudi-backed war in Yemen. According to the report, CENTCOM concealed its ownership of the accounts. In some cases, it used fake pictures and bios to give them the impression that they were run by civilians in the region. The social media giant tolerated the presence of the accounts on the platform until at least May 2022. Twitter has long pledged to shut down all state-backed disinformation and propaganda efforts. For example, in 2018, Twitter suspended accounts that were allegedly linked to Russia's propaganda efforts. But these rules and suspensions have not been applied to the American military efforts.
And the story also looks at the kind of hypocritical promises and pledges by Twitter. Twitter, since 2016, has promised to crack down on state-backed influence operations, to shut down covert propaganda, and they brag all the time about shutting down Russian or Venezuelan or even Thai secret Twitter accounts that are run by the military.
Azerbaijani.
Yeah, Azerbaijan. Yeah, Azeris are always doing this as well. Yeah. But really, the U.S. is doing this. And Twitter, even though they promised to shut down all state-backed influence operations, they've worked hand in glove with the U.S. military, giving them special privileges for their fake Twitter accounts, these fake personalities that kind of make organic-looking conversations in Yemen or Syria or Iraq.
The finding of this research appeared to corroborate a major report published in August by online security researchers affiliated with the Stanford Internet Observatory. That report claimed that thousands of accounts that they suspected to be part of a state-backed information operation. It said many of those accounts used photorealistic human faces generated by artificial intelligence and were connected with an online ecosystem that included fake news websites, meme accounts on Telegram and Facebook, and online personalities. They all echoed Pentagon messages and included anti-Iran messages. Some of them accused Iran of threatening Iraq's water security. Others promoted allegations that Iran was harvesting the organs of Afghan refugees. In the summer of 2020, officials from Facebook reportedly identified fake accounts attributed to CENTCOM's influence operation on its platform. Reports show in 2020, Facebook and Twitter executives were invited by the Pentagon's top attorneys to attend classified briefings in a sensitive, compartmented information facility. The result of that meeting was that many of the fake accounts remained active for at least another year. Some of the accounts on the CENTCOM list remain active even now.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has visited Washington in a much-publicized visit to the U.S. This is the first foreign visit that Zelensky has made to the U.S. since the war began back in February. During a meeting at the White House, President Joe Biden pledged to give more military support to Ukraine, including a new missile system.
As I said, Mr. President, you don't have to worry. We are staying with Ukraine as long as Ukraine is there. Thank you all.
The U.S. pledged $1.85 billion in military aid for Ukraine, including a Patriot missile system. Ukrainian officials have continuously called on the U.S. to deliver that system. Biden said the U.S. and Ukraine would continue to project a, quote, united defense against Russia as the war drags on. And as expected, the visit has drawn an angry response from Russia. Moscow's envoy to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, has denounced the visit as a, quote, Hollywood-style trip, accusing Washington of throwing all of its colossal resources, weapons, and intelligence capabilities at Kiev. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has said that there had been no signs of readiness for peace talks during Zelensky's visit. He further noted that this was evidence that the U.S. was fighting a proxy war with Russia, quote, to the last Ukrainian. The Pentagon has disclosed that the U.S. has sent $20 billion worth of military aid to Ukraine in 2022. The recent $1.7 trillion federal spending bill includes $45 billion that's earmarked for Ukraine in 2023. Russia's Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu noted earlier that Kiev had already received more than $97 billion worth of weapons and ammunition, and that Russia was already fighting the entire West and NATO. As the West, spearheaded by the U.S., continues to pour more military and economic aid packages to Ukraine, there are now calls for more transparency. In the U.S., Republicans are calling for plans to exercise oversight powers to scrutinize tens of billions of dollars that the U.S. has spent. Republicans have been more skeptical than their Democratic counterparts in the Senate about funding Ukraine's defenses. Some Republicans have cited corruption in Ukraine, saying that there are concerns about the aid going to the country. Prior to the Ukrainian president's remarks, a few Republicans had already made public their opposition to the spending bill and further aid to Ukraine. We should be focused on trying to contain the war, not expand the war. And this sends the message that we are kind of okay with expanding the war. And I think we should be sending a different message, is what Warren Davidson, a Republican congressman, has said. Another Republican congressman, Matthew Gaetz, has criticized Zelensky, saying that American politicians who indulge his requests are unwilling to put Ukraine first.
You've got Americans here at home that are demanding accountability on our southwest border. You've got crime rampant. You've got historic inflation. You have a litany of issues that we all are paying for at the behest of this administration. And no one can tell us where this money is going. My heart breaks for the Ukrainians, absolutely. But every American deserves to know where every single dollar has gone.
This comes amid a declining support of Republican voters for more military aid to Ukraine. In the latest poll, 33% of Republicans agreed with prolonged support compared to 61% of Democrats and 46% of independents.
The skyrocketing energy prices have cost Europe nearly $1 trillion, according to a new report stating that the current situation as the fallout of the war in Ukraine is just the beginning of the deepest crisis in decades. Citing its calculations based on market data, a report published in Bloomberg said $1 trillion is a broad tally of more expensive energy for consumers and companies in European countries. However, that's just the beginning. After this winter, the region will have to refill gas reserves with little to no deliveries from Russia, intensifying competition for tankers of the fuel. Even with more facilities to import liquefied natural gas coming online, the market is expected to remain tight until 2026, when additional production capacity from the US to Qatar becomes available. That means no respite from high prices. The report also referred to more than $700 billion pledged by the European Union governments to protect consumers and companies from soaring prices, noting that aid is becoming increasingly unaffordable as interest rates are rising and economies are already in recession amid the war in Ukraine. Government fiscal capacity is already stretched. About half of European Union member states have debt exceeding the bloc's limit of 60% of gross domestic product. A rush to fill storage last summer, despite near-record prices, has eased the supply squeeze for now, but freezing weather is giving Europe's energy system its first real test this winter. Last week, Germany's network regulator warned that not enough gas is being saved and 2 of 5 indicators, including consumption levels, have become critical. With supply tight, businesses and consumers have been asked to reduce usage. According to the International Energy Agency, the EU managed to curb gas demand by 50 billion cubic meters this year. But the region still faces a potential gap of 27 billion cubic meters in 2023. That assumes Russian supplies drop to zero and Chinese LNG imports return to 2021 levels. The main source of pipeline gas from Russia to Western Europe was Nord Stream, which was damaged in an act of sabotage in September. The region is still receiving a small amount of Russian supplies through Ukraine, but heavy shelling of energy infrastructure by the Kremlin puts the route at risk. Without this gas line, refilling storage will be challenging. Also, LNG imports into Europe are at record levels and new floating terminals are opening in Germany to receive the fuel. Government-backed buying has helped Europe attract cargoes away from China, but colder weather in Asia and a potentially strong economic recovery after Beijing eased COVID restrictions could make that more difficult. Chinese gas imports are likely to be 7% higher in 2023 than this year. Beijing has started securing LNG supplies for next year, putting it in direct competition with Europe for spare shipments. China isn't Europe's only problem. Other Asian countries are moving to procure more gas. Japan, the world's top LNG importer this year, is even considering setting up a strategic reserve, with the government also looking to subsidize purchases. For the likes of Germany, which rely on affordable energy to make products from cars to chemicals, high costs mean losing competitiveness to the US and China. That puts pressure on Chancellor Olaf Scholz's administration to maintain support for the economy. The challenge is finding the balance between keeping factories running and homes heated in the near term. The Kremlin has lashed out at a decision by the European Union to put a price cap on natural gas in order to supposedly deprive Russia of funds to continue the war against the neighboring Ukraine. The Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, said on Monday that the decision was an attack on market pricing mechanisms. Peskov's criticism came after EU energy ministers agreed to trigger a cap if gas prices exceed 180 euros per megawatt hour for 3 days on the Dutch tidal transfer facility gas hub's front month contract, which serves as the European benchmark. The price cap can be triggered starting from February 15, 2023. Reuters reported, citing a document detailing the final deal. Three EU officials were cited by Reuters as saying that the Netherlands and Austria abstained from voting on the decision. Both countries had resisted the cap during negotiations, fearing it could disrupt Europe's energy markets and compromise Europe's energy security. The EU officials added, Germany voted to support the deal despite having raised concerns about the policy's impact on Europe's ability to attract gas supplies in price-competitive global markets. The deal followed months of debate on the idea and 2 previous emergency meetings that failed to clinch an agreement among countries that disagreed on whether a price cap would help or hinder Europe's attempts to contain the energy crisis. Poland, however, welcomed the agreement, saying it would be an end to what it called market manipulation by Russia and Gazprom. Russia's war in Ukraine started in late February, with Moscow saying that it was aimed at defending the pro-Russian population in the eastern Ukrainian regions of Luhansk and Donetsk against persecution by Kyiv. The cap is also aimed at punishing Russia for cutting off most of its gas deliveries to EU countries in reaction to the sanctions that the bloc has slapped on Moscow over the war.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
او انقص منه قليلا او زد عليه ورتل القران ترتيلا
ادعوتك ربي بقرانك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك ارجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have some of the students of Sevier International School here, and I really welcome them, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Fawad Haider, and Brother Hassan Nasrullah. So, welcome, dear brothers, and how are you, Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Hassan.
Fine, sir. How are you?
Ali Nasir?
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
Okay. Everyone is doing well. Alhamdulillah. We hope you're doing well and you're safe. So today our main topic is Ayah 162 and Ayah 163. Two verses from Surah Al-Baqarah on page
24 and 25.
So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please hold your Quran and turn to page 24 and 25, verses 162 and 163 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Well, inshallah, we'll have a short explanation about these two verses, and then we'll have the practical tajweed rules. So, before we start, everyone, let's all together listen to the recitation of these two verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله. That was a nice recitation. We loved. So I will be reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat. All right? Of course, yes. Our brothers and sisters will be doing the same. Ready? One, two, three. Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
خالدين فيها.
خالدين فيها
لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون
لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون
وإلهكم إله واحد
وإلهكم إله واحد
لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم
لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, inshallah, dear reciters. Great reciters, inshallah, you will be. Just practice and... Okay, carry on. So, brothers and sisters, as you know, in the previous session, we were talking about those who were concealing the truth and the facts about the reality of the world, Tawheed, Nabuwa, Qiyamah, these things, okay? The principles of Islam. And they were not letting the people understand the facts. So Allah Almighty told them what happened to them, okay? And also what will happen to those who repent, they again do good deeds, okay? And they will not be among the concealing guys again, okay? Allah Almighty told them what happened to them, okay? Allah Almighty will forgive them, okay? Because Allah Almighty is Tawwabur Rahim. Rahim. And also Allah Almighty told about those who continue being so. Concealing the fact and being kafir, so of course they will be in the hell. Now in this ayah, Allah Almighty says, "Khalidina fiha." Khalid means the one who is there for eternal life, forever. خالدين فيها, they will be there, okay? لا يخفف عنهم العذاب. They will remain in it. In the la'nat of Allah Almighty, okay? Or in la'nat, if Allah Almighty cursed someone, so he is, so of course, in Jannah or Jahannam? Jahannam, of course. So he will be there. There is no question. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب, and their punishment shall not be lightened, shall not be decreased. Okay? They will have full adab. Okay, whatever you want, whatever type of adab you want, just order, we'll give you. Okay? There. وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ, nor they will be granted any respite. Okay? They will not be granted any relief. Okay? Understood? They will have punishments. Then Allah Almighty says, hey, listen up. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Okay? وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. There are a lot of people who let the people understand this way, that, come on, there is no God. If there was a God, okay, he would have come down and let us see him. In the previous verses, we had this, yes? Yes? وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ. And the other verses that the people of Prophet Musa were saying, that لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. We will not believe in you unless we see Allah Almighty with our eyes. So there are people, okay, who kind of give people some doubts, some misunderstandings about Allah Almighty. So these are those who will be in Jahannam. Allah Almighty says, hey, do not let this the people understand it wrong, okay? Wa ilahukum ilahu wahid. Your Lord is one God. La ilaha illahu. There is no God except Him. Okay? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the all beneficent, the all merciful. Okay? You have a lot of reasons to prove that God is one. Okay? You have in the belief classes, you can have those reasons. Okay? I ask you to refer to the Islamic beliefs. Okay, Islamic beliefs. So you will have a lot of reasons to prove God is one. Okay, so we'll not talk here because we don't have that time. Inshallah, you refer to the Tafsir book also, to the Islamic beliefs or Islamic principles about Tawheed. Tawheed talks about the oneness of Allah Almighty. So, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, let's go to the very, very important tajweed rules in these two verses, inshallah. قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فَأَتَاهُ الْوَحْيُ فَأَشْرَقْ اقْرَأْ اقْرَأْ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقْرَأْ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, the first important rule here, خالدين فيها, the pronunciation of the letter خا is important since it's a heavy letter and it has an alif mad with it. So you gotta pronounce it with an ah sound. Fawad, how do you say this? خالدين فيها. Read it.
خالدين فيها.
أحسن. Do not say خالدين فيها. خالدين فيها. This ها is a light letter, so you pronounce it this way. ها. خالدين فيها. Then the word صلاة tells you, Ali Nasir, that
Continuing is better than
stopping. Waqf is not better than wasl. Wasl is better than waqf, right, Hassan?
Yes.
Okay. You can stop here as well, but it's better to continue. So let me continue. خالدين فيها لا يخفف. Right this way. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون. There is no special rule actually, but just skipping Hamzatul Wasl. عنهم العذاب. Skip Hamzatul Wasl. عنهم العذاب. عين. عين. The yes, there is one rule, anhumu. Yes. Actually, that's, I told you, there is no rule here because it's the rule idhar, nun sakin plus ha, the rule idhar is pronounced, applied. Yeah? Yes, so nun sakin yes. plus ha. What was the rule? No rule.
No rule.
Yes. No merge, no hide, no change. So no rule it means. Anhumul, normally read it.
عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون. نون ساكين here plus ظا
إخفاء.
إخفاء. You gotta do إخفاء. But do a kind of heavy إخفاء. Let your listener understand that the letter ظا comes after, or a heavy letter comes after. ولا هم a heavy sound. ينظرون. Right? And مد العارض للسكون here. Uh-huh. ولا هم ينظرون. Prolong the sound at the end. Because you're stopping here, so there is a longer mad here, okay? The مد التبيعي. واو مد ضرو. واو مد, yes, is changed to a longer mad. This is okay. It's not wajib. Okay, you can do it. وإلهكم, next ayah. وإلهكم إله واحد. إله واحد. We say that here.
إدغام.
إدغام is applied. إله واحد. So تنوين plus واو. You gotta merge تنوين into واو or enter it. Okay, insert the تنوين sound to واو sound, and it changes to واو sound. So double واو we will have. وإلهكم علي ناصر سيد وإلهكم
إله واحد
أحسن إله واحد. So Hussein, do we have to produce a nasal sound غنة here?
إله yes.
Yes. Okay, how do you do that?
إله واحد
أحسن وإلهكم إله واحد. This nasal sound that comes from your nose. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Yes? For two counts, also you prolong the sound. Okay. واحد. If you stop here, but continuing is better because salah is there, right?
Yes.
The word salah tells you that continuing is better than stopping. But here, when you stop, واحد دال, the harak at the tanween dal will be changed to sukoon, so dal will be sakin letter here. So what was the rule for a sakin letter?
Qalqala.
The five letters.
Qalqala,
right?
Qutbajad.
Yeah, qutbajad letters. So you gotta produce a
bouncing
sound or an echoing sound. Wa ilahukum ilahun wahid, right? La ilaha illa. La is the mad wajib? Huh? Or jaiz?
No.
Jaiz.
Why? Because the harful mad, la, alif sound here, okay? And hamza, they are not in the same word. So, yes. La ilaha, you can skip. La ilaha illa, or la ilaha illa, huwa ar-Rahmanu ar-Rahim. So, there is no special rule. Okay? So, let me read once. You repeat after me, okay? Then with tajweed rules, then inshallah we'll end this session. Ready?
خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون.
Because Salah says that you have, it's better to continue. Yes? So recite.
خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون
وإلهكم إله واحد
وإلهكم إله واحد
لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم
لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Ahsan, mashallah. Thank you so much. That was all about these two verses. For the interpretations and explanations, please refer to the Tafasir book. Okay, Tajweed rules we mentioned. Practice them, please. And if you had any questions, please ask us. So, we hope, inshallah, you stay safe. Practice the Quran. Stay with Quran, inshallah. Stay with us these Quranic sessions. See you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up,